Lord, we come before you now, Lord, and we come with very messy, chaotic, a lot going on. Our lives are full of just stuff. God, I pray now that you would humble us. God, that you would strengthen us, that we may understand the real weight of the story. God, I pray that this Advent season, that we wouldn't just breeze over it, but God, that we would stop, pause, and reflect on your mighty, awesome, powerful Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. I want to welcome you. My name is Nick, teaching pastor here. We're going through this Advent season, and like I said before, my hope is that we really, really be able to stop and reflect on what's happening with the season, that it wouldn't just be a time for us to kind of breeze over. We got a lot going on. You know, you're sitting here waiting for the sermon to get done so you can get home and get your shopping, or maybe some of you are doing it right now on your phone. I don't know. You know, you got a lot going on. I know my life has always been filled with chaos. Since I was young, I sort of thrive on chaos. And I know a lot of y'all thrive on it too. When things are just nuts and crazy, that's when you're in your prime, right? That's when you're doing really well. From a young age, my mom, she had constant health problems with battling multiple sclerosis and kidney failures and a slew of other things. And my brother, he's biracial. And so we grew up in a somewhat racist neighborhood. And so we had, my brother and I were constantly in fights. We had our windows get shot out. We did all kinds of fun things like that. I was always playing music somewhere. I grew up playing music, playing guitar, and believe it or not, violin. And I was always involved with sports. And so in my life, I kind of knew all these things. I really get chaos. I understand it. And even this week, my wife had a baby. So, yeah. So, if I'm really tired, you know why? If I'm making no sense, you know why. I slept very little this week, and I'm really excited. She was born Thursday morning at 12:02 in the morning, and her name is Simone Pearl. And the thing is when she came into this world, I was holding her, and she's just amazing, just so beautiful looking. Just like, I mean, I know Father is very much skewed, but she is very perfect in so many ways. But when I held her, I just was looking at her and thinking about this Advent season, and I was amazed that she doesn't even know what she's being born into. Like, she doesn't know that there's war. She doesn't know that we got to get Christmas shopping done. She doesn't know all of these things. She doesn't know all that stuff. She doesn't know that she's been born into a house of food throwing and drink stealing and book slapping and kicking in the face fun. She doesn't know that yet. Well, she does now, actually. But this season, and more specifically, this topic of chaos is very personal to me right now. Very personal, as I live in a house of chaos with three kids now. The last several years, Brittany and I have had very few times to just stop and breathe. And one of the things that has meant so much about this season and our daughter Simone being born is that her name comes from Simon, which is Hebrew for God hears us. And this is a season of our life where that name is specifically called out in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, where there was a lot of chaos going on, but God calls the Simon to listen, to hear, and he does. And so we named her God Hears Us because we really feel like at this time of our life, we really want to just pause our hearts. We really want to quiet our hearts and listen to God. And I really want my daughter to grow up in a place where she can stop and just be quiet. That she's not just constantly filled with all kinds of stuff. I mean, we've always got people in our house. We've always got an event to go to. We've always got things to do. But I hope and pray that that she would be able to stop and just meditate in her heart. My wife and I, we decided 6 years ago that we wanted to spend the rest of our lives living in chaos. We didn't plan it like that. You know, let's just, I don't know what we're going to do, but let's do chaos. That sounds good. You know, we didn't think like that, but what I mean is that we decided that we weren't going to live just the normal, I don't even know what that means, but we weren't going to live just a boring Christian life. That we weren't just going to call ourselves Christians, do the Christian thing, go to church, you know, maybe even, you know, teach a Bible study or do something like that. But we were really going to live our lives to serve Jesus no matter what and where he took us. No matter where it was, no matter what we were doing, we were going to do what God wanted us to do. Even if it meant just being a life of mess. And it's strange. It's kind of a strange thing as I thought about that, to really open up your life to God like that. Some of you, God has laid on your heart to be maybe just a faithful steel worker or a farmer or something like that. I'm sure there's not very many farmers in here, but you know, just wanting to serve your community and love your local church well. And some of you maybe feel that you're called and desire, you just have this desire to be in full-time ministry. No matter what, when you open your life to full-time service to our Lord, you are bound to understand chaos in the most intimate way. When you really open things up, when you really say, Lord, I'm yours, you're going to experience chaos in a way that you've maybe never experienced before. One of the things I've seen over and over again in the scriptures is that the greatest of people, the greatest of lives in the scriptures always lived chaotic lives. They're always crazy. And that doesn't mean they were lived unruly, filled with all kinds of junk. They just kept busy. They were just always on mission. You know, they had a mission. They had this drive. They just wanted to see the kingdom come, and they just had passion and desire and were moving, and they were going, and they were doing stuff. I find that the chaos I see throughout the scripture isn't really the chaos I see in many of our lives today. You know, we're busy. We're really busy, but it's not the same as kind of where they were often. The story of Jesus' birth has been sterilized in our culture. I mean, it's been really messed up to be a calming and collective moment. It's sort of this just sort of let's light the candle, hold hands, and just sing a song, and that's beautiful. We sing really stupid lines like the cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I have three little kids. No crying he makes. You know, if he really didn't cry, I would worship him. You know, if my kids didn't cry, I would be worshiping them too. You know, that's a joke. Don't take that out of context. But, you know, there was chaos in the crib. There was chaos in this moment. Little baby Jesus was probably screaming his lungs out. And the angels were confused. The people there, the shepherds were confused. This is the Lord. There's got to be so much chaos. And like, I can't believe this is happening right now, right here, in this moment. But again, this is a season to feel what is happening. That's why we've tried so hard to see this Advent season as not something we just pass over, but something we really take time to stop and feel what is happening in this time. What is going on? And I want to dive into a few things today. Just want to dive into a few things. A lot of this, I said, is very scattered because I basically just spewed a bunch of things that I was thinking all week about having a baby and all that stuff. But that's chaos, right? So this is going to be perfect. There's three things. We're called to be in chaos. We're called to have peace in chaos, and we're called to have joy in chaos. The three things I saw. I'm sure it isn't a far stretch for us to get that Mary had a really good life going for her. Mary had a lot of good things going for her. She got a great fiance. He was well loved and well respected, and we see that, and we kind of get that from our text. She was well known in her town. She had all the great things going for her. She had all the dreams right there ahead of her. And in many ways, this is where a lot of us are. A lot of you guys are. You kind of got your plans ahead of you. You're almost finished with school, maybe. You are finished with school. You're just getting started in your career. You're kind of just there with lots of dreams, lots of things ahead of you, lots of good stuff going. You know, you're interviewing. You're thinking about your dream job, where you want to live. Who am I going to marry? What kind of kids? I'm going to travel the world, live free and fun. And I know that's where most of you are. Because I know I'm always, it feels like every week I'm getting somebody asking advice, like, I don't know what to do next. What do I do next? Graduating or moving to another job, or I'm not sure where to go. But I know some of you aren't like this. I know some of you aren't like this at all. In fact, I'm finding that there's a whole slew of you who hate this mentality, who really just hate. You kind of rebel against the thought of getting married, working a real job and being tied down, all of those things. You kind of just hate those things, especially a lot of you guys, a lot of men. I meet with a lot of you. I hear you're like, yeah, you know, I really want to find a good wife and that kind of thing. But, you know, job, you know, kids, not really that interested. They're cute, but whatever. You know, you kind of just kind of have this mentality like, I don't want that. Some of you just straight up rebel against that. You wander through life expecting something to happen. No plan, no vision, no future. And you waste your life having Lord of the Ring marathons at your apartment with... you know, your neighbor next door, and you play video games way too much. And then you expect to have this awesome wife just to chase you down and to love on you and to convert you and make you an honest man. And but the truth is, you're really just a waste. I mean, you're a waste. You're wasting your life away. You're wasting so much time and energy and your future. And we can see that all throughout the scriptures, God typically is intervening in people who, in lives of people who were obviously doing something. They were doing something. They weren't at home, hand in one, hand in the pants, chips in the other, just waiting for something to happen. They were out doing something. Plans are good for people. Working is good. Sitting in mom's basement, not good. Those kinds of things are not very good for you. We see Moses, who's working a job as a shepherd. God shows up. God shows up in a burning bush. We see David working a job as a shepherd while wrestling bears and lions and fighting off wolves. And he was chosen to be the next king. And we see Nehemiah working a job as a cupbearer to the king. And that's a huge job, huge responsibility. I mean, he has to be a man of character to get to a position where his life, the king's life, is entrusted in his hands. And he is called to rebuild Jerusalem. And what I'm saying is, do something. Do something. Martin Luther said, if we must sin, sin boldly. And he meant that if we are to be sinners, that we shouldn't just sit and sleep all day, but we need to get in the game. We need to get in the game. We need to be part of what's happening. Do something. Just to be doing something. And we see that in Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man's plans his ways, but the Lord establishes a step. We plan, and we keep doing something, but we know that God guides our steps. His plan comes in the midst of us and changes things all around all the time. Oftentimes, in the midst of our planning, God switches things up. And when my wife and I, when we committed to becoming, just to starting a new church, we planned to go to the Northwest. That was our dream. You know, I'm a backpacker, love indie rock music, huge coffee geek. I love those things. And so to me, like, the Northwest is like the mecca of all of that. I can go backpacking one day and then come in back into the city and have a great latte and then go see a great indie show. You know, it's a great place to live. So we traveled there a lot. We invested a ton of time planning our church out there. We connected with tons of church communities. And then through a season, just some tough conversations with very dear friends and a very strange dream that I had, we ended up coming back to the last place we wanted to be, which is Ohio. I'm sure a lot of you are like, yeah, it's me too. You know, Ohio, come on. But we love it here. You know, this is the best place to be. We see that's Mary's story too. That's really what's happening in Mary's life right now, is that, you know, however pure and well-meaning Mary's plans may have been, God had other plans for her. God had other plans for her. His plan was for her to give birth to God. Small thing, you know? That's the kind of thing that God had called her to do. I don't know, have we ever just stopped to think about that? Just to stop and think about that God has just come to this young woman and asked her to conceive the Messiah. That's a crazy thing. God completely flipped Mary's world upside down. She messed everything up. Or he messed everything up for her. And we know that she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. We see that. And the reality is that nobody else around believed her. Nobody believed her. In fact, she kind of got made fun of as a whore because she was shacking up with somebody that she had to have been messing around with somebody before she was married. And as you read throughout the gospel, this was a widespread thing that they knew that Jesus' mom was probably a whore. That's a strong language. But yeah. And as you see that they always mocked Jesus even. They mocked Jesus saying, isn't this the son of Mary? You know, Mary? You know, they had this kind of attitude, a subtle jab, calling his mom names. And I don't remember seeing or even hearing this in the last nativity scene, a live nativity scene set that I saw, you know? There isn't this mindset, this chaos that's going on. You know, everything's perfect, well illuminated. Everything just is glowing perfectly. Everybody's got the right product and perfect facial hair. And everything was great and calm. Mary wasn't flipping out. She was very calm, you know. But that can't be the case. That can't be the case. She had to be just engulfed with so much chaos. I can't believe this is happening. Going to tell Joseph, and Joseph's like, no way, I'm done, I'm out of here. He's going to divorce her, and she's like, no. And then an angel comes to her, or to him, and he gets it. And he really gets it. And we don't get that confusion and that chaos and all that's going on in their lives right there. But if we stop and we see that there is so much chaos that happens in this story, and I'm sure a lot of us can relate to this. Not in the same way, definitely not in the same way, but we can relate to this. See, one of the things that I've meditated on over the last few weeks as I've been preparing for Advent is that we're not called to leave chaos. We're not called to step out of the chaos. Oftentimes, it's the opposite. God comes and gives us more things and does more things, changes our life around so that chaos just flares up. But we are called to peace in the midst of chaos. We're called to peace in the midst of chaos. See, I can't walk away from the chaos in my life. After a long day, starting very early in the morning, I don't get to come home, flip on the TV, grab the chips, and become a zombie till it's time to go to bed. I have four people at my house expecting my A game when I come home. They're expecting 100% of me when I get home. When I walk in the house, the kids jump on me. I got to get the right food on the table for them. Got to get it on the right plate, finding the right cups. In the middle of the toys, found a cup filled with milk that's probably 3 weeks old. Found all kinds of crazy toys in crazy places. Have one kid hitting another kid with a book, trying to have some family devotions and prayers before going to bed. Then we got to give baths. Then we have to do some discipline for kicking in the face. Somebody's dancing on the piano again. We got to get them off and get them down. Well, the other one is screaming. The other one can't sleep because the other one is screaming. And the whole room is filled with all kinds of screaming, and it's out of control. You parents are like, amen, I got you. I can't just walk away from the chaos. I can't walk away. I don't want to walk away. God has called me to live in chaos. He's called me into that. He's called you parents into that. He's called many of you, even single folks, into that in some way. And what usually happens in the middle of all the chaos is that people just, they just move on to some greener pasture. They think it's going to be better on the other side. So they leave that all behind. They find some pretty girl, run off with her, or they run away and hide into some place where they can complain and murmur and whine all the time. But in the middle of this ridiculously stressful season of Mary's life, an angel comes to her and says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And I love this. I love that God speaks to her in all of the chaos that's going on. When I'm sure she was tempted to just walk away, hide somewhere in shame, or just complain and murmur, "Why me? Why do I have to do this? I can't handle this. I don't want this." We see two things here. We see that first that she, Mary, belongs to God and he loves her. That's a simple truth, right? You can swallow that. God favors her. Mary isn't chosen because she's this wonderful person, that she's going to be this awesome mom. She's chosen because God is good and desires to pour out love and grace on her. Mary is cherished by God, and she needs to feel that and to get that, and that's why God spoke to her. The second thing is because this truth is affirmed. She doesn't need to worry about what's going to happen to her. She doesn't need to worry about what's going to happen to her, no matter what happens. And we see this over and over again in the scriptures, in the Bible. Let's just dive into a few of those. Psalm 46. Psalm 46 brings us into a picture of the whole world literally being torn apart. Just complete chaos, natural disaster, war, all this is going on. We see this beautiful picture of storms and fighting and killing and war. And the psalmist, through all of this, quotes God saying, "Be still and know that I am God." Despite his fears, David has this resolute understanding that God is completely in control of everything that happens. No matter how bad it gets, no matter what happens to him, God was still in control. And so that we can be still and know that he is God. That's a huge truth. We could just unpack a whole sermon in that. Being still, knowing that he is God. Exodus 14. This is a similar scene, actually, where Moses is moving the Jews out after seeing that God has what has already done and taken place, how he has set them free. They witnessed all these crazy things that happened to Pharaoh. I mean, the locusts and the killings of kids. I mean, they just witnessed so many crazy things, and yet they get to this river. They get to this river and they know the enemy is closing in behind them. And so what do? They throw up their hands in defeat, claiming that they were better off as slaves. They were better off, you know, and they didn't have any food. They were in the wilderness. They didn't have food. We're better off as slaves. At least we got food. Even though God had given them freedom, they were there. They were pressed to trust in God's provision. And it's so amazing when they got into that situation, their hearts were truly revealed. When they really got into chaos, so much of their heart was really revealed. This is so true when you have kids. You got the chaos. I know none of you hardly can relate to this. But, you know, you get kids all around you, man, it exposes the deepest inner sinner in you. You can't even believe some of the things you think and some of the things that you want to do, but thankfully, we have self-control, right? And yet Moses, in this situation, provides them with the same plea. He says, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work in you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. We see also the same in Jesus, some of Jesus' last words recorded in John's gospel, where he desires to have peace in the midst of chaos. He says, behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Mary's got tons of fears. She's up against this wall. She's in the midst of all this chaos, just like many of you are. And she knew that her path would be really difficult. She had tons of questions. She says to the angel, how can this be? I'm a virgin. How can I have a baby? I can't. But she's responded in faith, knowing that it is God who saved her, who's not going to abandon her. And she said, behold, at the end of this, she says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. She understood that because of who God is, because of who he is, and all throughout the entire story of God, we see that over and over and over again that God shows himself to be trusted. Yeah, you've gotten so many people that have come into your life and broken up so much trust, a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a horrible dad or a horrible mom or just an aunt or uncle or somebody who just messed with your life so badly that you can't trust people again. But God has shown so many times over and over again that he can be trusted. Because of what he has done, he can be trusted. Because of who he sent, he can be trusted. He came to bring peace into this chaotic world. He came to call us to trust in him. So we see that we're called into chaos. We are swayed to peace even in the midst of chaos. We're called to have peace in the midst of chaos. And finally, I want to look at the joy we can have even in the middle of chaos. A lot of times when we get in the middle of chaos, we usually either shut down and walk away. Like I said, we act like David in this Psalm and 46, and that the world is falling apart and everything has to stop because our life is hard and God has ruined our plans. We're mad at him because he messed everything up. He messed our lives up. We had things going, but he did some things that we didn't approve of, and everyone has to stop and help come to our aid in our situation. This is kind of how we think sometimes. Or we're like the Israelites, where we throw our hands up and we say, you know, it's better back in the day when things were great and life was working out and we had, we just had things planned so much better. But Mary's response was to place her faith in God. And several verses later, she even sings. We see her sing. She sings with delight in her heart that is filled with abounding joy and rests in the psalmist's words, be still and know that I am God. She just rests in that and she sings it. And when I know that my kids are going crazy, I know it's going to be so tough and meals are going to be so chaotic and life is just going to be crazy. I know that friends aren't going to like me. I know that I'm going to be totally stressed out because of work or responsibilities that I have to do or things I have to take care of or what does the future hold? All of that stuff weighs on our back. And the last thing that I know I want to do is sing a praise chorus, especially some of the praise choruses we have today. That's a different story. But Mary sings with joy. She sings with joy. We don't have to smile, come in around our community and just smile and curse God through our teeth. Yeah, everything's great. I hate you, God, for giving me these friends. You know, that kind of thing. We don't have to do that. We don't have to be fake and act like everything is just great. We can be honest about where we are and how difficult things can be. But the one thing we have to remember is that we are called to have joy in chaos. We see that God told Habakkuk. He receives a call from God telling him that he was going to wipe out all creation. Going to wipe everything out. Great message. So Habakkuk says, though the fig trees should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. I want to end with this question. How do we find peace, find joy in the midst of this chaotic world and our chaotic lives? You know, it's one thing to stop and talk about those things. Yes, you need peace and you need joy, and you're left with like, how? How do we get this? Where are we going? What do we do? See, right now, I just read that self-help books they just peak enormously during Christmas time. Everybody's running to get the self-help book because this is a time of year when people stop and they start reflecting on life. And they turn to these crazy, weird books. They turn to Oprah. They turn to Dr. Phil, somebody. And they ask, is this going to be a year where I'm left empty, where I'm left wondering, where I'm left in just this chaotic mess? So what we do is we fill it and we say, you know, I'm just going to give people a lot of gifts. That brings me joy. You know, I'm going to buy a bunch of presents for people. I might even give $20 to a homeless guy so I can feel that joy of the Christmas season. I might go and help some people serve at a soup kitchen or, you know, raise some money or do something like that for the down and out and things that we should be doing during this time. But is that how you're feeling your joy? Are you one of those people that's fighting to keep Christ in Christmas? You know, you're kind of on that campaign trail, and that can be a good thing, but is that where you're putting your hope? And if we just take the X out and put Christ back in, you know, peace will be restored, you know? Is that where we go? Is that what we think? Or is it going to be, come, Lord Jesus? Is it going to be, we long for you? Is it going to be, I am finding my peace in you, Lord? Come to Jesus with an overwhelmed life. I know a lot of you are just completely overwhelmed with all that's going on. Some of y'all are graduating from school. Some of you are trying to find jobs. Some of you just are got so much going on in your life that you're so overwhelmed. And the beauty of the gospel and this message is that Jesus was born in a chaotic world. He understands and gets chaos more than any of us. No other God has ever come to earth and lived as a man. Jesus did this. He got in our chaotic world so that he can really understand, he can live like we did, and he understands this chaos. And he says, come a mess. Come to me a mess. Come with all the chaos that you have. Come with all the baggage. There is no getting your junk together before you go to him. We want to do that, don't we? This is the season where we got to get things perfect. We got to get things in a row, and then we'll go to him. Then we'll come to him. We need to just bring it. Slop and all. Mess and all. See, God doesn't offer us less busy life. He doesn't offer us a less busy life. He offers us a less busy heart. Our life is going to stay messy. Our life is going to stay chaotic. Our life is going to be full of all kinds of stuff, but he still says, be still and know that I am God. He offers us a less busy heart. Romans 8 begins the declaration, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Do you see that we are set free from the chaos in our heart. We're set free from those things. Though we can't escape the chaos, we can't just walk away from the chaos that's going on in our lives. And God isn't calling us to walk. I mean, he is calling some of y'all to be a little more simple in your life, to rearrange some things. But he is calling us to just be still and know that he's God. He's calling us. He's offering us lives and souls that are set free, a heart that is transformed, and we have been given true joy because we are in Christ Jesus. That's where the joy comes from. That's where it comes from. I'm not going to be able to give you five principles or five steps to being happier this Christmas season. You know, give gifts to your friends. Tell everyone you love them. Make sure you spend time with family. Those are great things. You all should be doing those things. But the bottom line is that if you're not coming to Jesus, if you're not really coming to him in this season and quieting your heart in the middle of chaos, if you're not worshiping him, then you're going to just still be in the mess you're in. You're still going to be in chaos. Quiet your heart and worship Jesus as the King, because Jesus is our peace. He is our joy in the chaos. And I'm not just saying this as just a preacher who read it in a book. I'm saying this as somebody who understands this, as somebody who spends a lot of time in the midst of chaos all the time, where I rarely get a time to just stop and be quiet. I can't just shelter my physical body out of the chaos. I have to cultivate it in my life, in my heart, and where I'm thinking, and where's my heart's affection, and who am I worshiping? And I encourage you guys this season to stop and look at your life and ask, are you doing the same? Am I doing the same? Am I cultivating the depth of peace and joy in Christ, or is it in something else? Let's pray. Father, it will be really easy for us to forget so much this year. We get excited about cold weather and snow and shopping. We get excited about friends and family and all the things that are good things. But God, I pray that in the midst of all of these things, that we'd be still and know that you are our joy, that you are our peace, Jesus. We ask that your Holy Spirit would do a miracle in our lives, in our chaos, in our mess, in all that we have going on. Would you quiet our hearts? Would you focus our affections upon you? I want to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.